Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's All Sides Weekend, where we talk about books. We have a family show, meaning our family, All Sides Weekend's family, to talk about books with you today. We'll have a special guest, and it's a special show, because today we are talking about The Great American Read, which is an effort put forth by PBS that WOSU is working with in collaboration with the Columbus Library. And tonight at 7, I want you to come to the downtown library, the main branch, and take part in 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus, our quiz with door prizes, with a free food and drink, all available tonight at the Columbus Library at 7 o'clock. You can register at WOSU.org/allsides. We have a lot of trivia fiction facts about Columbus to talk about tonight. We will have guest authors who live and work in our area. And we have two people right now who live and work in our area, and they are all about books. They are Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic. Her blog, Indispensable, if you like to read, is thelongestchapter.com. And Robin Nesbitt is the manager of the Hilliard branch of the Columbus Library. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. Good morning.
Later in the broadcast, we will be joined by WOSU's Director of Content, Brett Davis, who is the brains behind tonight's event at the Columbus Library, and will tell us more about this. But first of all, Cassie Rose, talk to me about The Great American Read. Has this been a success? Has this been something that's stimulated reading and interest in books?
I think it has. I mean, certainly when I've gone out into the community and brought it up to people, they have told me about the books that they've been voting for. One woman says that she gets on every day to vote for Beloved by Toni Morrison. And I think that's what it is all about. It wanted to stimulate reading and to get people to see that lots of people have favorite books, and to, for them to get excited about their own favorite books and to read what everybody else is reading. And one of the things I think is great about this list is it really shows the swath of what people are reading. It's got everything on it that people love to read. It has horror. It has dystopian novels. It has classics. It has literary novels. It has romance. It has everything on there that people love to read. And that, I think, is a great representation of what people how they're relating to books. So it's not just like, well, you should be reading, you know, classics, or you should be reading, you know, these books. It's you read what you want and what you love.
Right.
And Robin Nesbitt, can you review for us very quickly just how this works? They polled about 25,000 people, apparently.
That's my understanding, yeah. And people voted. And so that's why the list is, as Cassie said, so broad. It's, this is not like a group of people sitting in an office somewhere in a publishing house in New York saying, these are the, you know, top 100 books everybody should be reading. No, this is, you know, Americans from across the country saying, hey, here's what I like. And so, like Cassie said, it's like everything. And it's got kids books on it, too, which are great. I think that's the other thing. You know, I've gotten on and voted for Harry Potter regularly myself.
Good for you. Me too. Yes, you can vote for your favorite books. The list, I understand that the 40, I guess, semifinalists have been announced today. We'll talk about that later. But these are all fiction books, by the way. They're all
correct.
Novels.
Yes.
This is for fiction.
Right.
And when they're not saying these are the best. They are the ones that people, they are the results of substantial voting of the books that people liked very much.
Correct.
And I think that's the books that people really loved.
Yes, and one author can only be represented once. So,
right.
Hence David Copperfield and not
Christmas Bleak
Carol,
House.
Right?
Or, yes.
Bleak House. Oh, aren't you complicated, Bleak House. hence Anna Karenina, not
yes.
War and Peace.
Yes.
Okay. Here's a question. Have either of you read a book on the list you'd never read before? Have you been encouraged by the list to say, I need to read that?
Absolutely. A Prayer for Owen Meany. I had never read it before.
John Irving.
Yes. Yeah. Read it, loved it, and I am going to be leading a book discussion at Gramercy in September 25th on that. Frankenstein. I have never read Frankenstein, and I just picked that up to read. And I have to say, though, Eric French, our senior production engineer here, read it before TIGAR and loved it. And so when I saw it on the list, I thought, I need to read this. And I'm halfway through it. And quite frankly, I can't put it down. I love this book. And I didn't know it was so good. And I don't remember, I'm sure I saw the movie, you know, the Lugosi. Who was the guy who started?
Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff.
If you're thinking of Boris Karloff, that movie's 80 years old. It's a wonderful movie, but it is not the book.
Yes,
the
it
book
isn't.
Is very very different. Hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and so another one that I'm reading is Another Country, James Baldwin. Mm-hmm. I'd never read that. So I'd read several other of James Baldwin's, Giovanni's Room and Go Tell It on the Mountain. Mm-hmm. But that's what I love about also about the list, too, is it's inspired me to pick up books that I haven't read in the past.
Now, in a bit, I'm going to be giving out a phone number, and I hope our listeners will call in and tell us the books they voted for or they would have put on a list of your favorites. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about novels, nonfiction.
Correct.
Limiting only today for novels.
Right.
Robin Nesbitt, I know that your library branches have special displays devoted to the Great American Read,
right,
or TGAR for short.
Right.
Do you see certain titles flying out?
It's funny you say that. I was just thinking about that because we have had a display all summer long, and I've been keeping my eye on it, trying to see what moves and what doesn't move. And it is, people are picking things up. It's funny. It looks like the thinner books are going. We had Tolkien out for a couple of weeks. I'm like, I could not get the Tolkien to move. And those are thick, heavy tomes. But Siddhartha went fairly quickly. So it is funny to see that some of the thinner books have gone faster than some of the thicker books. So I don't know what that says about people, but it's been kind of an interesting anecdotal, you know, survey.
Well, they've already read probably Tolkien. The people who are going to read Tolkien have read
true.
Tolkien.
But that's true.
But to pick up Siddhartha for Hermann Hesse for the first time, it's got to be something. I picked up and read and loved The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, which was on the list, which to me was a perfect horror novel.
Right.
I mean, it was bloody creepy.
Picture.
It was really creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. And there were a couple of events in it. Crimes in it that surprised me. I picked up and read Little Women. Stephen King's The Stand, which is a 1,200-page novel, which is hard to put down.
Mm-hmm.
A dystopian novel by Stephen King, which is terrific. So I think that this has done its job in really stimulating not only reading but talking about reading and talking about books and getting people to read. Now, tonight at the library, we are going to have our director of content, Brent Davis, has put together a terrific presentation that is geared to books either set or involving Columbus and Ohio in some way. Mm-hmm. And we have 50 fiction facts, kind of a Trivial Pursuit kind of a game we're going to play with the audience. And there is still time to register and come on down and be with us. You can go to our website, wosu.org/allsides. The information is there. You can also just show up. I'm not supposed to say that, but come on. We're not going to throw you out. That starts at 7. Doors open at 6:30. The main branch of the library downtown, the beautifully renovated Columbus Library downtown. Door prizes, food and drink, and lots of good people. Cassie Rose will be there, and Robin Nesbitt will be there.
Yep.
I'll even be there. And we will have some wonderful local authors as well who will be coming up, and we'll be introducing them and their work. So, Frankenstein, what else, Cassie Rose, have you rediscovered from this list?
Well, another one I rediscovered was Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. I had read it, but I decided I was going to reread it because I remembered this one turning scene, this point, and she's standing at the new wife, and I'm forgetting the name. It's
Manderley.
Yes.
Last night I dreamt I went back to Manderley, yes.
Yes. So she's at Manderley, and she's in this costume, and she's presenting herself at the top of the stairs, and everything goes wrong. And I remembered that from reading it when I was a teenager, but I couldn't remember everything that happened with the crime. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give it away.
Rebecca's the dead first wife, right?
Correct.
She's the ghost who hovers over the hole.
Yeah. Yes, and the housekeeper who just rejects the new wife and makes life difficult for her. And the new wife is someone who was not up to society standard for Manderley. And so she struggles, and she tries very hard. She's very much in love with her husband, and he's in love with her. But there's also this dark secret about Rebecca and how she died, and that's what keeps you turning the pages.
Daphne du Maurier in her lifetime was a huge success with a big profile who, except for Rebecca, kind of, her profile lessened somewhat. So to see Rebecca back there and have people talking about Daphne du Maurier, I think is well worth.
Yes, and another one of her books that I loved was My Cousin Rachel. And there was I first saw it in a movie. You know, when I was growing up, they had these late night movies on Saturday night at 9 o'clock, and you always, waited for them. And I remember seeing My Cousin Rachel, and oh, it scared me. And I read the book and loved the book and then read Rebecca. Hmm. And she came out with a Jamaica Inn, I think, was another one that she wrote.
Yes. Most of her books went to Hollywood.
Yes, you're right.
Hitchcock did Rebecca, of course. So, mm-hmm. Robin Nesbitt, you talked about Harry Potter.
Yes.
You talked about voting for Harry Potter.
Yes.
What else have you been moved to read from our list?
Well, it's funny you ask that because I actually have things piled up, but I haven't actually gotten around to reading it, some of these things. But looking at the list, what strikes me is all the ones that I have read and go, oh, yeah, I really like that. And just surprising, I was just looking at The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde.
Oh, Juno Diaz.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which was great. And then the other one that I forgot how much I loved, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon.
You know?
So it's kind of fun to go back and look at this and go, oh, yeah, I like that. And, you know, that was a great read. And then The Outlander, which I read before it was, like, hot. That's the Diane Gabaldon. Clan of the Cave Bear, which you think, oh, that's a serious, it's a romance novel set back in the Stone Age or whatever. So I have some piled up at home to get to. I just have not had the time opening up the new branch and getting everything going and everything like that. But yeah, looking back at some of this stuff, it's like Ready Player One is one I talk about all the time. A lot of these on this list are when you come into the branch and people say, hey, what's a good read? There are a lot on here that I hand sell, that I push. Mm-hmm. And I say, you need to check this one out. You need to read this one. So
let me ask each of you to have one choice that didn't make the list that should have. Cassie Rose. That you would have liked to have seen there, not should have, but you would have liked to have seen.
Well, I would have jumped up and down because my favorite book is Humboldt's Gift. Saul Bellow, and I would have jumped up and down about that.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and I don't have to say I don't have this memorized, but I don't think there's anything on here by Ann Patchett, if I'm not mistaken.
Is she Bel Canto?
I love Ann Patchett, and I don't see anything on here by it. So I think that's a miss. I think she's a great author, and her books are wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that would be, I'd want one of hers on it. I really like Commonwealth, but Bel Canto is good.
Commonwealth I liked very much.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And Bel Canto is finally getting made into a movie. That's
right.
Been for sale
you know,
for years.
You know, it was an opera first.
Yes.
It was made into an opera last year.
Yeah, really.
But the movie is in production.
Finally
now.
Coming. Yeah.
Finally coming. Okay.
But Christopher, your favorite book is on the list. Confederacy of Dunces.
Not only that, it's because it's a Confederacy. It's the first one on the list. Thank you very much. John Kennedy Toole's of Confederacy of Dunces did make the list. My beloved Dickens is on the list. Tolstoy is on the list. But one each, which is hard, you know, when you have to limit. Because every author gets one representation. John only wrote one, as we know. So that was easy for him. So we are talking about The Great American Read on today's edition of All Sides Weekend Books with Cassie Rose, WOSU's book critic, and Robin Nesbitt, the manager of the Hilliard branch of the Columbus Library. Both of these good people will be tonight at 7 at the main branch of the library downtown to participate in the 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus quiz. And we want you to come down and be with us. Don't go away. Brent Davis joins us soon. I'm Christopher Purdy. We'll be right back. We are back talking about The Great American Read on today's edition of All Sides Weekend Books. I'm Christopher Purdy with Cassie Rose and Robin Nesbitt, joined now by Brent Davis, WOSU's Director of Content. Brent Davis is the gentleman behind the event tonight at the Columbus Library at 7. And you've just brought us the sort of semifinalist list from the 100 list. We are now down to 40.
That's right. These are in alphabetical order, so we don't know who's ahead, but we do know the 40 who are leading at this time. And so some of the titles you guys have mentioned are on here. Some, sadly, Christopher, or Confederacy of Dunces, are not.
Oh, well. Well, Charlotte's Web is there. Harry Potter, the whole series
Harry
is there.
Harry Potter's there, yep.
The Help, The Color Purple, The Count of Monte Cristo. Oh, The Stand, Stephen King, that's there. Wuthering Heights, certainly so.
And Rebecca is there.
There's still a
list.
Frankenstein, is Frankenstein there? No.
Here's one that's interesting that's not on here, considering the popularity of the TV show. Game of Thrones didn't make the top 40. Yeah,
I bet a lot of people don't know they were books. I mean, I had no idea they were books. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that might be.
Yeah, that could be. Brent Davis, can you review for us what's going to happen tonight at the library?
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. If you love books, if you love this show, you're going to have a great time tonight. About 6:45, we'll open the doors, have a cash bar, and there's some great food. That's free. And then about 7:30, we're going to get started with the 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus Trivia Quiz. It's weird and interesting and fun things that connect Columbus to the world of fiction. Sometimes it's a very sketchy connection, but it's there, and it's going to be fun to learn about it. You'll be on your honor system as you grade yourself, as you keep score of the quiz, and there'll be a fabulous prize at the end.
Door prizes,
that's
right.
Yes. And door prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the following day, I want to mention, it's wonderful kids' activities at the main library. Story time at 11, arts and crafts, and characters, PBS characters there until 2 o'clock. It's going to be wonderful, and it's free. We would like you to register, if you could, for tonight's event. We don't want to keep that to prevent you from coming. But if you can, let us know you're coming at wosu.org/GreatAmericanRead.
Great American Read. Okay, you can do that as well. And we want to have enough hors d'oeuvres. So we shouldn't, God forbid, run out of hors d'oeuvres.
We're not going to run out. It's going to be great.
We want to know who's coming.
There's also a link on the Columbus Metropolitan Library site. So if you remember our website over at WSU, you can register either way.
And we'd want to see you there. It's going to be fun.
We want you to register, but you can also say, Christopher said I could come and just show up. We'd love to have you. Joanne from Columbus has been waiting very patiently to share with us the books she voted for. Hi, Joanne.
I don't know whether Anne of Green Gables was a finalist, but it
is.
It is.
Oh, good.
Yep.
I read it 70 years ago when I was 10 years old.
Oh, darn.
That has so much power. There's another show now, Anne of Green Gables, right now on Netflix.
Yes, yeah.
Well, the thing is, my name is Joanne without the E. It's two words without the E. So when I read that, I told my mother that I had to put the E on the end of my name because Anne in the book said Anne sounds better with an E. I have always been Joanne with an E. From then on, even though my birth certificate does not have the E on there.
Well, I'm delighted, Joanne, that Anne of Green Gables made the list, and I thank you very much for your call.
Yes.
If you'd like to tell us about the books that you voted for on the Great American Read list, to the books that you love most, the novels that you love most, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear from you about the books that you love most, the fiction books that you love most. Brent Davis, how long have we been working on this with the Great American Read? When did this sort of grow steam, as it were?
Oh, I don't know. The opportunity came up after the first of the year, and we talked with folks from the library and thought about the activities we could have, and somehow the idea of this quiz emerged. We wanted to localize it. You know, we wanted to find out where Columbus fits in the fiction world, and we just started thinking about this and found out there's a scrapbook in the archives at the library that a writing club kept through the 40s and 50s. And there are yellowed clippings about Columbus authors and Ohio authors. So that's where we got a lot of the information for the quiz tonight.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Because I've been reviewing the questions for the quiz tonight and the answers, all of which you came up with. And I just have to ask, what was the research like going into that?
Well, I did a lot of it. And then the folks and the reference at the library found a lot of connections that I was unaware of, and they formulated some questions. It was a lot of Google searching, and again, the scrapbook was a huge help.
You know, it just dawned on me, who's not on this list, one of the greatest authors from Columbus is Thurber. James Thurber's not on the list.
Yeah. Well, he never wrote a novel.
That's true. He wrote some short stories.
Short fiction, right.
That's true.
He's
not
a collection,
novelist.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There are many Thurber connections, as you'll find out tonight.
Okay. And the other thing is about reading about the list, and I did a little research on my own. I guess I realized, but it really put front and center the literary talent that passed through this town.
Yeah.
And is still here. I mean, that people are who have lived here, who did live here, or are still working here.
Right.
I don't want to give anything out, but no, I was amazed not only by the writers, but the actors and actresses who have come from this area who have popped up through this quiz. In fact, I don't want to give anything away, but one of Howard Hughes's wives was a Columbus woman.
Yeah, okay. One who hung in there for a while. You know,
that's right.
You know, and was a movie star.
That's
so,
right.
You know, kudos to her. I'm sure she's probably in heaven now, but good for her.
Well, people always think that you have to be, or for at least it was in the mid-20th century, and probably even late, that you had to be in New York to be a successful author. And this quiz is likely going to prove that that's not true. And certainly I learned that with Ohioan authors when we went through that. And it's true at the Ohioan Library when you see the many authors in the books that did come out of Ohio and Columbus in particular.
The Ohio writers that maybe you found who unexpectedly, were there any surprises of people that you didn't realize were from here or whose work was really steeped in this area?
In terms of what's on the Great American?
Specifically, if you could.
There are. I have to be careful in terms of, I don't want to give anything away on the quiz, but one of them, James Salter. His is more of a connection there. That surprised me. I mean, he's a East Coast guy all the way.
He's a favorite of yours, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. But certainly, Don Powell, you and I have often talked about Don Powell.
I didn't even realize.
I was really surprised the contemporary authors that are in Columbus. I did not realize that. Yeah. There's a lot of people now making a living writing fiction here in Columbus in central Ohio.
There is one writer, Elizabeth LePianca, Kristen LePianca, who was referenced in last Sunday's New York Times Review of Books in a profile by another writer who said, Kristen's one of my favorites.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to knowing about her. You brought her to our attention.
Yeah, she's awesome. I've read both of them, and they're just amazing. If you're a mystery fiend, you got to read them.
I love her character, too. Yep. She's somebody you want to have a beer with.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
carefully, because, right. yes, a very volatile person. Marianne from Columbus is offering us a favorite novel on the phone. Hello, Marianne. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My favorite is from 50 years ago when it was required reading in high school, and that's Jane Eyre.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember if it was Charlotte or Emily, which of the sisters of the Brontes that wrote it, but it was such a tragic love story, and I remembered it so fondly over all these years.
Yeah, that's Charlotte Bronte, and she did make the top 40, as did her sisters, Emily Bronte for Wuthering Heights.
And the Lady Locked in the Room upstairs.
Yes, Grace Poole.
Reader, I Married Him. Yes.
Yes.
yes. Marianne, I'm with you. I think that's a great, great novel as well, Jane Eyre.
Great. Thanks for
taking
my call.
You bet. Thanks. If you want to talk about your favorite novel, something that may or may not be on the Great American Read list, give us a ring, 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Should I ask Brent Davis what your favorite is?
I'm curious.
My favorite's not on the list. my favorite book is Masters of Atlantis by Charles Portis. Mm-hmm. Charles Portis is the author of True Grit, a great writer, great novelist. And I just love that book.
Interesting.
I also would like to see something by Richard Russo on the book because I think the comic novel tends to get overlooked.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
And I'd love to see more of that on the list.
As I'm looking at this list, this top 40, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this real quickly. The amount of female writers that are represented on this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. If you look at the title, and I know that people listening can't, but if you take a look at the list and you start thinking about who wrote it, there are a lot of women authors represented. I find that interesting.
Betty Smith, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Yep.
Agatha Christie, of course, is there. Ayn Rand. Now, I don't know if that should have surprised me or not, Atlas Shrugged, but there it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what I'm wondering about this 40 is, did they release these 40 titles to get people to start voting for the ones, if yours isn't on here, get on there and start voting for it.
Right. We shouldn't think of these as semifinals. Everybody's still in the running. So if yours isn't on the list, you need to marshal your friends to
start voting.
Christopher, get out there and start voting for your book.
And by the way, you can see the list at the Great American Read Facebook page. They just published it yesterday. Anybody can go on there and see the 40 top contenders at this point.
Just go to Facebook and type in the Great American Read, and there it is.
You can vote every day. That's what people need to realize, too. And you might even be able to vote twice a day. You can vote as much as you want,
at least
right?
once a day.
I think
at
it's once a day per email address.
Right.
Okay.
And starting in September, you can vote by phone.
Wow.
Who knew?
Oh, cool.
Good. They can
That's
call
awesome.
Us. We have a great time. Vote early and often, then, as we used to say up home in Boston, for the Great American Read. The Book Thief of the Catcher in the Rye, of course, is there. Charlotte's Web, I'm glad that's there. E.B. White, yeah.
Yeah, there is an author who wrote a book recently about adults reading children's books. And I forget the name of the book, but he was interviewed on NPR. And he was talking about Charlotte's Web. And what got me about it is he was talking about, you know, the spider and the pig and the girl and all of this. And he started to choke up. He was just an adult.
It's a sad book.
And it was about something that, you know, Orville the pig had learned or in the relationship. And when I heard him choking up, and then certainly he carried on, I thought, I need to reread that book.
I do too.
I just read Vacation Land by
John
Hodgman.
Yeah.
It's a book of comic essays, yeah. But it's full of references to E.B. White because he's in Maine, yep. And his wife is a big fan of E.B. White. Actually, he never says E.B. White's name. But in fact, the Vacation Land is a reference to an essay by E.B. White that appeared in his famous book, One Man's Beat. Yep. So it's this comic novel. It's comic essays full of references to E.B. White and Charlotte's Web.
Mm-hmm. It's a great book. I listen to it. John Hodgman reads it.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's great.
There's a book on the list here that I think is the great American novel, which is The Grapes of Wrath.
That was my vote.
That was that. Yeah, that I think our old Boyce Lancaster voted for that as well. If I had to pick one American novel to take with me to the desert island, it would probably be The Grapes of Wrath.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, it'd be that or Gatsby. I think
Gatsby. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be at the coin cost, but yeah, for me, I think the Grapes of Wrath just about wings it out. Speaking of The Great Gatsby, Cassie Rose has two family members related to The Great Gatsby. Daisy and
Fitzgerald.
And Fitzgerald, yes, who are?
They're corgis.
Just like the Queen of England. You have
yes.
corgis.
Well, they're Cardigan corgis, so they're, which not many people know the Cardigans as well as they know the Pembrokes, but they have got the big ears, little differences. They have the tails. And actually, I've registered their names with the American Kennel Club as F. Scott Fitzgerald and Daisy Faye Buchanan. So when the vet
so
now
don't steal those
right,
names.
So when the vet calls now for an appointment with Daisy, it's Daisy Faye. We are going to be seeing Daisy Faye on Saturday.
There's a chance one of your dogs could win the Great American Read.
Right? Yes, they could. They could.
The Queen names her corgis Rover. So good for you, Cassie Rose.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a call from Trish in Columbus who wants to share favorite. Hello, Trish.
Hi. I would like to put my vote in for a book. It's Owen Meany.
Oh, yeah.
Prayer for Owen Meany, yes.
Mm-hmm. A Prayer for Owen Meany, yes, by John
Irving.
Irving, thank you. I always block his name out. And, you know, among the titles you've been quoting these last couple of minutes, to me, this book measures up.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Well, wonderful story.
Cassie, you either have been moved to read it or are about to read it based on this list, right? A Prayer for Owen Meany?
I did read it based on the list. And then,
so what do you think?
And it is on the list. Yeah.
It is, yes. I love the book. And I'm going to be leading a book discussion, if you're interested, on September 25th at Gramercy, where we can come and talk about it. It is the characters and also the narrator and how he goes through and talks about his friend Owen Meany, the little guy with the strange voice.
The voice, yeah.
And how he had what he called a divine connection. And it's also how John Irving unravels all that was behind the friendship and about this little guy who believed that he knew his fate. He knew what was coming.
A Prayer for Owen Meany by John Irving. Thank you very much, Trish, for your recommendation. This is All Sides Weekend Books, and I want to give Brent Davis one more chance to talk about tonight, just to remind everybody about tonight's event at the library.
It's the 50 Fiction Facts About Columbus Trivia Quiz. The doors open at 7:45 at the main library. 6:45 at the main library. The quiz starts around 7:30, but you want to come early because there's a cash bar and there's great food. We would love for you to register, if you could, at wosu.org/Great American Read. But most of all, we want you to come to enjoy. It's a wonderfully fun presentation of facts, weird facts, fun facts, strange facts, and interesting facts about Columbus and its place in the world of books.
And you will have a chance, if you come tonight, to meet several local authors who you've heard about on these programs before, whose work you may have read. If you haven't read them yet, you've missed something, and you'll catch up. So we'd love to see you tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. Cassie Rose will be there, WO's book critic, and people who love to read will want to meet her. And Robin Nesbitt is going to tear herself away from the brand new Hilliard branch of the Columbus Metropolitan Library, of which she is the boss. Remind us about this new branch.
So we opened 2 months ago, approximately June 21st. We tripled the size of the branch. We went from 20,000 to 60,000 square feet. It has been, as I like to say, an unmitigated success. We've seen well over 70,000 people since the doors have opened. Our business has doubled. The building's full every day. I see Brent on a regular basis.
I was there last weekend, and there's almost a line to get in. Yeah. Still, you know, 6 weeks after it opened.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Cafe,
talk
coffee.
About the donuts. How does that relate?
Well, there's a coffee shop there with donuts, and they are good. Yep. And there's always people in line to get those.
Yeah. It's Kerr's Cafe, run by the Public Park, so it's local coffee folks in the Hilliard, Ohio area. So it's great. It's a great location. Please come out and see us. We'd love to see you. It's free.
Okay. And we have time to take one more call before our break. And Jackie in Whitehall is going to talk about a book that I really, really loved. I read it years ago. Hi, Jackie. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. The one I really love the most, I think, of everything I've read, and I was surprised it wasn't on the list, is James Michener's The Source.
Yeah.
It's the entire history of the Jewish faith, and it's been years since I read it, but I can say it's the only book I ever read twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's just so moving. I love that, and I hope everybody will read that. And then I just wanted to say the one I voted for, I hear a lot about it on your show, is A Prayer for Owen Meany. Mm-hmm. That's the one I voted for. It's just so moving. It's a great book. In fact, that was years ago I read that, but I recently gave that to a friend of mine as a Christmas present.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, I recommend both of those books.
And Jackie, thanks for reminding everybody about The Source. I read it years ago, too, and I couldn't put it down. And I'm glad to hear it mentioned again. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Christopher Purdy. We will be back in just a moment with more talk about books. All Sides Weekend. Don't go away. Welcome back. All Sides Weekend Book. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today we are talking about TIGAR, The Great American Read, which began at PBS. By the way, there is a wonderful TV special hosted by Meredith Vieira that aired a few months ago, but it's online.
Yeah.
If you go to pbs.org, it's right there. It's also on WOSU's website. You can find it there. It's well worth your attention.
Yep.
She talks to authors. She talks to people like us who just love to read.
Mm-hmm.
And discussing their favorite books. And I know for me, I learned about books I'd never heard of and read them and loved them, including Bless Me Ultima, which is considered probably the great Latino novel written by an American writer whose name is Araya, I think it is. I'm going to say that wrong. Frankenstein, The Stand by Stephen King were a few that were really gung-ho for on this program. So I recommend that as well. Cassie Rose and Robin Nesbitt are here. Cassie is WOSU's book critic. Her blog is thelongestchapter.com. Robin Nesbitt is the manager of the Hilliard branch of the Columbus Library. And we just got, I guess, the 40 semifinalists of the list of 100. But you can vote for any book you want on the 100 list. So if one of your favorites isn't on the 40 list, keep voting.
Right.
And call your friends and get them to vote. And vote twice.
Yeah, these are the top vote getters.
Some of these on the 40 list, the pillars, it's alphabetical, so we don't know who got how many votes. The Little Prince, Lonesome Dove, The Lord of the Rings series, The Outsiders, Pride and Prejudice, Wuthering Heights, To Kill a Mockingbird. And Robin Nesbitt, you made a point about women writers.
Yeah, as I've been looking at this list, I'm going to go through and count, but of the top 40 vote getters, I would say easily half of the list are female authors. And I was surprised having, I don't know for sure what this reflects, but the vast amount of readers in this country are women. So I don't know if that's, if there's any correlation there. And I'm not offending any male readers out there, but it, by far, whenever you read studies of who reads regularly, it tends to be female. So I don't know if that has any bearing on the list in the voting.
Did you say earlier that it's 20 years ago that the first Harry Potter book was published?
Yes.
Coming on 20 years ago. I remember when that series was new, as it caught steam, people were saying that it was becoming cool for 12-year-old boys to read,
right?
Because young boys love those books.
Yes,
everybody.
Yes.
I read the whole thing too,
And
they were very big in my home.
So,
but I think that that really kind of caught it an adolescent imagination with the fantasy and
absolutely,
because they were so well done.
Yep, absolutely. And kids are still reading them. I'm just amazed. I can't keep them on the shelves at the branch. You know,
any Harry Potter, right?
Correct.
Still
any
after 20 years.
Yep,
that's great.
Absolutely.
That's what makes it a classic.
Yep.
If you have a favorite you want to share with us, whether it's on the list or not, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. John has been waiting very patiently. Hello, John.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me all right?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. I, too, love Owen Meany. I think it's a great book. And but I have a question about the rules for voting. I'm assuming, I hope correctly, that once you vote for a book that you your favorite, that you can't vote for that book the next day and the next day and the next day. Is that correct?
I don't know.
No, that's not correct. You can get on and vote for that same book every day.
Yep.
That seems to not make a lot of sense in terms of certain age groups and so forth voting for, say, Harry Potter every day and just trying to...
Oh, come on. Harry Potter's wonderful. Don't be a... Harry Potter's great. But I think they want people to really respond. And they what it's doing, I think, it really is stimulating reading of a wide genre of fiction books. That's my take on what I'm hearing from people.
This is not supposed to be scientific. This is to engage conversation.
Engage conversation about books,
And I think also it's... I mean, for me, it's been hard. I can't acclimate myself to get on and vote every day. I've been on and I've voted, and then a week went by and I was like, oh, I can vote again, and I've gone on and voted. And I think, I mean, I voted for Jane Eyre, for Wuthering Heights, A Prayer for Owen Meany, because my very, 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 very favorite book isn't on the list, so I've been out there which is Sawfellow's Humboldt's Gift.
Right.
And so you can. And I think it also, it stimulates the reading and getting people back to the list and looking at the list and saying, oh, yeah, I don't know this book, so I'm going to read it and then loving it and
that's
then voting for it.
That's what I did. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, John, I guess what you can just do is vote early and often. And I guess it's just not meant to be scientific, because it sure isn't. Thanks for your call. If you'd like to tell us more about your favorite book, 292-8513, it's a 614 area. We have a call from Adrian in Columbus. I hope I said that right. Hello.
Yeah. How you doing?
Go ahead.
Adrian. I was going to mention Truman Capote, True Blood, True Crime.
Yeah.
In Cold Blood.
In Cold Blood, right?
One that I read recently from a female author was Marisha Pessel, Night Film.
Yeah.
I don't know that book.
Yeah, she wrote
great one.
Showed that
Calamity and
Physics.
Yeah, she's kind of I don't want to say she's out there. I mean, it's like she if you read a lot of fiction, I mean, it's like, wow, this is something I've never seen before. She's very experimental, I think is a good word for it.
Yeah, what was the title of the book that you read that she wrote?
Night Film.
Night Film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the second. I think that's your most recent one,
That's an author and a title I don't know, so I'm really glad to have this call. What's her name again? The writer?
Pessel,
P-E-S-S-L.
P-E-S-S-L.
Her first book was very experimental in terms of how she was... It's not like a clean narrative read.
Right.
It was just... It's a lot of things that she kept popping in and out. So it's almost like pointillism in painting, if you know that.
Right.
A lot of things brought together, juxtaposed together in a crime, trying to figure it out. And it did hit the bestseller list.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like a good puzzle. Adrian, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. We have an email from Cynthia, whose favorite novel is The Caine Mutiny.
Oh.
Is that German woke?
Yeah, I've been meaning to read that.
Says it's a great book. That's an interesting because you get a book that everybody sort of knows about the movie, but they don't read the book.
Right.
Which I'm doing right now with Gone with the Wind, and I'm glad I'm doing it. But this is Cynthia recommends The Caine Mutiny. Herman Wukow, I believe, is 102 and still writing.
Really?
Yes. He published a book last year. So
I didn't realize that.
He wrote The Winds of War.
Yeah. Winds of War.
I read that.
Marjorie Morningstar, I think, is another one of his. Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
We are asking people about their favorite books. We are trying to stimulate, and apparently are doing a good job of it, stimulating conversation about books and about reading. It's all based on the initial 100 favorite reads on the Great American Read list. We now have a new version of this list with 40 titles. These are the, I guess, leading vote getters. Mm-hmm. As we've explained, the voting is delightfully unscientific. You can vote as often as you want. Yep. You can vote for the same book every day for the next year. You can vote for three different books at a time or whatever. But they just want people reading and stimulating talk. The Help is on this, Catherine Stockett's book, another better known for a movie, but began life as a terrific novel. Yep. Let's see, Lonesome Dove,
yes.
Larry McMurtry.
I love that.
Yes, yes.
A final vote, I think it ends in October, if I'm not mistaken, October 23rd, the top vote getters announced, I believe, on online.
The winner is announced.
PBS,
yeah.
Meredith will be back.
We have sort of, hopefully we have champagne or whatever. We have Jack from Columbus who wants to share his favorite. Hi, Jack, go ahead.
Hey, Christopher, additional comment. My favorite book is, novel is The Shadow of the Wind.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Carlos Ruiz. The last name's a Z. He's a Spanish author. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
I just read that book this past year and loved it.
Yeah.
And it's part of a trilogy. And the last book in the trilogy, I believe, either just got published or is soon to be published in September or in the fall.
Yeah,
so I didn't
right.
read the other two.
I've read
or
the second,
other,
one. I don't really remember. The first one is even kind of vague. I read them a while ago. So
it's the Cemetery of Books.
Yep.
Remember where he finds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, kind of a mystery.
The Shadow of the Wind. Thank you very much, Jack, for the recommendation. That's a book I didn't know. That's why I really like to get people to call in and sort of give us. I write these all down as people are saying this. Charles in Columbus is having a different choice than mine of a favorite book by one author. Hi, Charles. Go ahead.
Yes, my choice would be East of Eden.
Yes.
Which is a book that Steinbeck also wrote. And actually, it's an analysis of good and evil as far as characters go, but it goes much deeper than that. And I followed it up. He actually published a book on the notes of East of Eden when he talked about writing what he was trying to write in the book, and on the opposite page would write the book. And it's pretty intriguing to follow exactly what he was trying to do with
it. So they've published that with his notes as well?
Right.
Yeah.
That book is separate. It's Notes of East of Eden. So
interesting.
East of Eden by John Steinbeck. Charles, thank you very much for that. I read that years ago, and I said earlier that I thought The Grapes of Wrath was the great American novel that I've read so far, and I still think so. But I have read East of Eden, and I'd say that was, for me, the runner-up. I think he was just they're just tremendous. We have Barbara calling from Bexley. Barbara has a choice to share with us. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. My choice is for my kids were half magic, and they all fought over who got the book when we sold our house and had to leave a lot of stuff behind. But I found that it had been reissued, so I bought some more. And these were adults by that time, but they still loved the book, Half Magic.
Who wrote that?
Do you
remember?
That? Do you know?
I don't remember.
But that doesn't ring any bells for me either. Huh, interesting.
And that's a young person's book or a children's book?
Young person. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Great to know.
I think it was the same author as The Owl in the Attic.
I have to look that up.
Thank you very much for that, Carl. That reminds me of something, Cassie and Robin. We did a few months ago a book on children's literature, and I was sort of researching children's books, and it's been a while for me. And the one that came back often was The Boxcar Children, yeah. which I didn't know at all. Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah, and that's still popular. I mean,
people
I still have kids.
Those.
Yep, mm-hmm. kids still read that. And you know, part of it is if you, as an adult, if you read it, you turn around and have your your kids read it. You know, it's like I remember. And so I think some of that. The books that get republished are, you know, oh, mom and dad want want their kids to read that. So, but yeah, it's republished, new covers, all of that kind of thing.
I might read them now because so many people love them. I had a couple of like 50-year-old men calling me up weeping because they remembered how much they loved those books 40 years
right.
ago.
Yeah. I've read a lot of kids' series. That actually is not one I've actually read. I did the Nancy Drews and I did the Hardy Boys, Encyclopedia Brown, that kind of thing. But I've never done it. So I should probably go read Boxcar.
By the way, we earlier had a call about the book Half Magic. It's by Edward Eger, E-A-G-E-R.
Okay.
So just might want to write that one down.
Yeah.
Here's another book that is geared for young people, but it's a great adult read and something I forgot to vote for. And I'm going to, well, it's too late now because it's never been on the list, but it's The Wind in the Willows, Kenneth Graham.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's the book whether they like it or not, there's a lot of young people who work at WOSU, which if you knew me, you know that's not such a compliment, but they're really young. They're having their first children, or they're newlywed, like our own Kyle. When Kyle has his first baby, I'm going to give him The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham to read to the baby because I think that's one of the great, great books of all time. You still have a few minutes to give us a ring and tell us about The Great American Read and your favorite novels. And I'm delighted that I'm hearing from people who have books that I don't know, and I'm writing them down quickly because I want to be able to share them. 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Cassie Rose, you've brought another stack of books, too. So while we have a few more minutes, let's have you share something maybe not on the list.
Okay, I will share a book called From a Low and Quiet Sea by Donald Ryan. He is an Irish author, and I picked this book up because it is on the long list for the Man Booker Prize, and I've written about that long list on thelongestchapter.com, so you can see other books that are there. It's a great list. I think the Man Booker is back to what I've always expected it to be, and anyway, this is From a Low and Quiet Sea, and it's really a small book. It's about it focuses on three men, and all of them have lost something, but they are not connected. Like Farouk, who is a doctor who is bringing his family across the sea to get them to Ireland from Syria, and something goes wrong on the boat. And then there's a next chapter, which is about Lampy, who is a young boy in Ireland who pines over a girl who has dropped him. And then there's the next one, which is John, who is an accountant / lobbyist / very deceiving man who lost his brother at a young age. And what the author is able to do here is get into the internal emotions of each of these men.
Thank you for that recommendation. I have to say our phones are now in the last 5 minutes. Thank you. Ringing off the hook. Thank you. I'll do my best. Laura from Columbus, go ahead. What's your favorite? Laura, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You've got to read this.
Huh?
Because if you love Dickens, you have to read this.
I'm sorry, we're not hearing you. You're breaking up. Thanks again. Well, anyway, thanks for the call. Let's find if line four is Rick. Hello, Rick. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Where the Red Fern Grows.
Mm. Oh,
that's on the list.
Everyone loved that.
Yes.
That's on the list. Yeah. Yes. Who's the author? Do you remember that?
That's Wilson Rawls.
Wilson Rawls, Where the Red Fern Grows. Thank you very much for that call. We appreciate it. We have, let's see if Justin is there.
That's on the top.
Justin, 30. Hello. You're on.
Perfect. Well, my favorite book is Flowers for Algernon.
Flowers for Algernon, yes.
That's
yes.
a good one.
I love
that
book. And I haven't been into reading in a long time, so I'm hoping I could get a suggestion from you guys that's similar to that book.
Well, we love that book. A suggestion of a book similar to Flowers for Algernon. You know what? Come to the library tonight. We'll tell you then, because right now we're running out of time. But we thank you very much for that call. We have time to take one more. Let's see. Dalton. Dalton, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. My favorite book that I've read probably in the past 10 years is a historical adult. It's a nonfiction based kind of like a novel, but it's by Eric Larson, and it's called Devil and the White Fish.
Oh, yes. That's is that about Shanghai? No.
No, that's Chicago, the fair, the serial killer.
Oh, Devil in the White City by...
Eric Larson.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that call very much. Let's see. We have one more. Let's talk to James in Columbus. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hello. The book I wanted to suggest was The Last Book in the Universe by Rodman Philbrick.
Mm. Robin Philbrick, ringing a bell here? Book.
It's a young adult novel, I believe.
Yes, it was.
20 seconds. Tell me why.
I read it as a teenager, and it was something that really struck home with me, and it was something that I felt would be great turned into a movie or something along that line.
Terrific. We thank you very much for the call and the recommendation. I'm sorry, we've run out of time. People always say wait for the last 5 minutes. But we really appreciate all the calls, and I've written down as fast as I can some of the titles that were recommended. I want to make sure everybody knows about the event tonight at the Columbus Library downtown, the main branch. The 50 Fun Facts About Columbus quiz, complete with food and drink. You are invited. Come down. The doors open around 6:45. Cassie Rose will be there, as she is here, WOSU's book critic, as will Robin Nesbitt, who is here as well, the manager of the Hill branch of the Columbus Library. We didn't have time to talk about Quick Picks today, so go to the library and find the display, Quick Picks. I'm Christopher Purdy. This has been All Sides Weekend Books. We will see you tonight at the library and on our next show in a few weeks. Thank you very much, our producer, Kyle McKinnon. Thank you very much, Brent Davis, WOSU's Director of Content, who spent some time with us. For All Sides Weekend, keep reading. Good afternoon.